If we look back at 2025, there's this platform that, originally started as basically a place for teenagers to lip sync,
Right.
right?
Yeah, the dancing videos and all that.
Exactly. But then its US shopping sales just exploded. Like they grew by 108% in a single year.
It's honestly kind of mind-blowing.
It is. And we are basically looking at a fundamentally new economy here, built entirely on, 3 second videos. And it is completely reshaping how you, me, how everyone buys almost everything.
It really is staggering when you actually look at the sheer scale of it. I mean, globally, the gross merchandise value, so the GMV for TikTok Shop, it's projected to hit $112.2 billion in 2026.
Wait, billion with a B?
With a B, yeah, $112.2 billion. So it's not just a trend anymore. It's basically a parallel digital economy at this point.
That is just wild. And well, that massive number is exactly why we're doing this deep dive today. Because if
Right.
you look at the landscape, there's this really bizarre dichotomy happening for
Oh,
brands.
absolutely. The gap between the winners and losers is huge.
Right. Because for every brand that, suddenly scales to seven figures in a matter of weeks and seems to just take over the internet overnight, there are, I don't know, a dozen
At
others.
least a dozen.
Yeah, smart, well-funded brands that are just burning through their entire marketing budget and getting absolutely nowhere.
Which is really the core mission for this deep dive. We are unpacking a really highly detailed strategy guide today that breaks down the actual DNA of these explosive brands.
Yeah, because we really want to crack this massive modern marketing code for you guys.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because the algorithm, I mean, it's the exact same for everyone. The ad formats are completely identical. But the difference between scaling and failing, it comes down to some incredibly counterintuitive decisions made, well, very early in the process. So we need to understand not just what these successful brands are doing, but why their approach fundamentally shatters the traditional advertising playbook, the one marketers have relied on for decades, really.
Okay, so let's unpack this from the very beginning. Because before a brand even like picks up a camera, they have to decide how they're actually going to deploy their budget, right?
Right, the money always comes first.
Always. And on traditional platforms, we're all used to your Metas, your Google's paid advertising is the engine. You put money in the machine, you get traffic out.
Yeah, it's a very straightforward transaction.
Right. And organic content is usually treated like, I don't know, a nice to have side project. But the data shows that on TikTok, the winners are running this entire sequence in reverse.
They completely flip the funnel. And what's fascinating here is the psychological shift. The successful brands, they aren't looking at organic reach as a marketing channel at all.
So, what are they using it for?
They're using it as a massive, completely free testing lab. Every single unpaid post is designed to gather signal. They're testing which hook grabs attention, which format the algorithm favors, what narrative actually resonates.
Which makes so much sense because if you skip that step and go straight to paid, you're essentially just like throwing money at targeting settings and
You're
praying.
paying full price for a complete guess. Yeah.
It's basically like paying for a massive, wildly expensive billboard in Times Square just to test out a brand new joke.
That is a great analogy, actually.
Right? Rather than just, walking into a free open mic night to see if anyone actually laughs first.
That is exactly what it is. And when brands use that organic open mic night approach, they find the winning jokes. They find the videos that inherently hold people's attention.
Because the audience tells them for free.
Exactly. And only then, once they have that data, do they put money behind those specific videos using what are called spark ads. And the numbers on this format are just incredible.
I was reading this in the sources. The stats are crazy.
Right. Spark ads, which basically just boost an already proven organic video, they post the highest click-through rate of any format on the platform.
Which is what, like 7%?
Around 7.21%. Yeah.
Yeah.
And with the absolute lowest cost per click sitting at just $0.89.
Wow. That is a massive discrepancy from traditional ads. Like, why is the cost so low and the click-through so insanely high?
Well, because you aren't fighting the audience's natural behavior, when you boost a piece of community-tested content, the psychology of the viewer actually changes.
Oh, because it already looks popular.
Exactly. It has social proof built right in. It has comments, likes, shares. So to the user, it feels like a popular piece of culture that they're just, being invited to join.
Right, rather than a top-down corporate ad just screaming at them to pull out their credit card.
Exactly.
So if you skip that organic testing phase, you are literally paying full price to discover what a week of free posting would have told you anyway.
And that's the trap. That is the first massive trap so many brands fall into.
Okay, but that perfectly sets up the next crucial piece of the puzzle. Because now that we know we only spend money after we test organically, we have to figure out what kind of creative actually survives that organic open mic night.
Right. And this is where the camouflage game really begins.
Yes. And here's where it gets really interesting for anyone trying to crack this. The strategy guide emphasizes that when brands take their, like, gorgeous, highly produced ads from YouTube or Instagram and just dump them onto TikTok, they completely bong.
Well, they tank instantly.
Right, because the users spot them as ads in a single second and they just swipe away.
It's essentially visual caller ID.
Yes. It's exactly like a telemarketer calling from a local area code. Like, if your screen shows a corporate 1-800 number, you decline it instantly. But if it looks like your neighbor, you pick up.
That's a perfect way to put it.
But I'm struggling with this a bit, actually. If a brand spends, I don't know, $50,000 on a cinematic ad, and a teenager with an iPhone in their bedroom completely outperforms it, are we just in an era where we reward bad video?
I mean, it's a great question. But no, we aren't rewarding bad video at all. Mm-hmm. Quality still matters immensely.
But the definition changed.
Right, the actual definition of what makes a video high quality has fundamentally shifted. On traditional television, quality meant perfect three-point lighting, right? A flawless script, a pristine studio backdrop.
Sure.
But on this platform, quality means authenticity, it means native camouflage. The video has to look raw, real, and basically unfiltered.
So it's about signaling to the brain that this is a peer, not a corporation.
Exactly. To the human brain, a shaky phone camera in a slightly messy bedroom that signals a peer-to-peer recommendation. A cinematic camera on a perfect white backdrop that signals a corporate sales pitch, and our defenses just immediately go up.
And the engagement data really proves this out.
Oh, completely. The average engagement rate on TikTok sits between 3.85% and 4.90%.
Which is massive.
It's roughly 8 times higher than what you see on Instagram. But, and this is key, you only get those numbers if you adopt that native creator-style content.
Right, real environments. The kitchen counter, the front seat of a car, a bathroom mirror. All of those outperform studio backdrops across the board.
Every time. And then, of course, there's the hook itself.
Oh, man, the hook.
The 3-second hook is arguably the highest leverage window in the entire digital economy right now.
Yeah, because if you don't capture them right then,
the rest of the video does not exist. They have already scrolled past. You can't do a slow cinematic fade in.
Yeah.
You can't start by flashing your shiny company logo.
Right.
You have to start right at the absolute climax of the narrative.
And you really see this reflected in how brands use the different ad formats too, like top view ads, the ones that dominate your entire screen the second you open the app.
Right. Those are huge for visibility.
Yeah. The sources say those pull massive 12 to 16% view rates, which is incredible for pure brand awareness. Mm. But when you look at in-feed videos, the ones you encounter while you're actually swiping through the feed.
Right. Those in-feed videos, they force you to actually earn the attention. They sit at around a 5% view rate, but they are the ultimate testing ground.
Because if the camouflage fails, you're dead in the water.
Exactly. If your in-feed video looks like an ad, it's gone. If it looks like a native piece of content, it seamlessly blends in and they actually watch it.
Okay, so let's say a brand has cracked this code. They have raw, native-looking videos. They're testing them organically at the open mic night. They're taking only the proven winners and amplifying them with Spark ads.
They do everything right.
By all accounts, they're playing the game perfectly. But the research points out that even some of these brands are still bleeding money. Why? Because there are hidden leaks in the funnel.
And this is where we really separate the surface level marketers from the true business strategists.
Yeah.
Because the platform's dashboard, you know, the screen with all the charts and green arrows that tells you how your campaigns are doing, it is not going to warn you about these leaks.
The dashboard is basically just designed to make you feel great about spending your money.
Exactly.
So let's look at the first major leak, having the wrong objective. The source material notes this happens when a brand optimizes their campaign for traffic, when what they actually need is conversions.
It's a classic vanity metric trap. You are literally paying the algorithm to find people who love clicking on links,
yeah,
right? But who habitually never actually pull out their credit card to buy anything.
So you look at the dashboard, you see thousands of clicks, you think you're an absolute genius.
But the actual bank account isn't moving at all.
Wow. And then there's the second leak. Creative fatigue. The data shows that even the most viral, perfectly camouflaged ads start getting stale past week 3. What is actually happening under the hood there?
So the algorithm is just incredibly sensitive to user behavior. Once an audience has seen a joke or a hook a few times, they stop watching it all the way through, right? And they start swiping past it faster.
Makes sense.
The algorithm instantly detects that drop in engagement. And as a result, it starts charging the advertiser more money to show that same video. So your cost to reach 1,000 people, your CPM, starts climbing, and your click-through rate just plummets.
So how do the winners handle that?
The winners in this space, they don't wait for the numbers to turn red. They rotate their creative weekly or biweekly as a mandatory standing habit.
Wow, so you literally have to constantly feed the beast.
Constantly.
But let's talk about the third leap, because this one genuinely blew my mind. The incrementality blind spot.
Oh, this is a big one.
This is when brands retarget people who would have bought the product anyway. To you listening, it's basically like a rooster taking credit for the sun coming up.
I love that. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, this is a trap that ensnares incredibly sophisticated brands all the time. Like, we see this constantly when brands scale their pay-per-click ads on Amazon past the six-figure mark, and it happens right here on TikTok, too.
But how does it actually work? Like, how does the platform trick you into paying for that?
Think about the ad platform's underlying motivation. It wants to claim credit for as many sales as possible to prove its value to you, right? So what's the absolute easiest way to get a guaranteed sale?
Finding someone who already wants it.
Exactly. Serve an ad to your most loyal customer who already has your item in their cart, or someone who buys from you every single month anyway. The dashboard lights up and says, look, this ad generated a sale.
And it looks like an incredible return on investment.
Right. But you haven't actually created any new demand. You just paid a platform tax on a sale that was already going to happen.
Which feeds perfectly into the fourth week, an obsession with ROAS, or return on ad spend. Brands use that one single number as like the ultimate signal of success, while completely ignoring whether they are actually acquiring new-to-brand customers.
Yes, it's a huge blind spot.
But wait, let me push back here for a second. If I'm a brand owner and the official dashboard is giving me a high ROAS and all the arrows are green, how am I supposed to catch these leaks? It feels like you're fighting the platform itself.
Well, you are. You are fighting the platform's default settings. To catch these leaks, you really have to look beyond the surface-level metrics that the dashboard just feeds you.
So you have to dig deeper.
Yeah, true business growth requires asking the hard questions. Are we actually acquiring new customers? Or are we just harvesting the ones we already had?
Yeah.
Are we measuring genuine incremental lift in our total sales?
Right.
You really have to build custom reporting that looks at your overall business revenue, not just the revenue the advertising dashboard claims it generated.
That is a brutal reality check. Okay, so let's say you plug the leaks, you have your top of funnel working perfectly, you're bringing in fresh, highly engaged, new-to-brand traffic.
The dream scenario.
Right. But what happens when that customer actually goes to buy? Because this brings us to a massive shift in the landscape. The biggest mistake brands make at this stage is treating the TikTok shop like it's just a miniature Amazon.
Yeah, they assume that because both are massive e-commerce ecosystems, you know, the exact same rules of gravity apply. But their DNA is fundamentally completely different. Well, Amazon is a search-based, high-intent platform. You go there because you have a specific problem to solve. You need a garlic press, you type garlic press into the search bar, you compare the reviews, and you make a logical purchase.
Right, you're on a mission. But TikTok Shop isn't about search intent at all. The sources make it clear it removes all the buying friction by keeping the entire transaction right inside the app.
Exactly.
Like you're scrolling, you watch a funny video of someone making dinner, they use a cool garlic press, you just tap a button on the screen, and you buy it in seconds without ever even leaving the video.
It is the ultimate impulse engine. That's why the conversion rates are sitting at an insane 3-5%. And because the purchase is driven by rapid impulse rather than, you know, calculated search intent, the entire dynamic of the marketplace changes.
In what way?
For instance, average transaction prices have dropped significantly across most categories.
Yeah.
People are making really quick, low barrier divisions.
And the product categories really reflect that, don't they? The data points out that highly visual categories absolutely dominate this space.
Oh, yeah. Beauty, fashion, home goods, quirky gadgets.
Right. Things that you can demo effectively in a really punchy 5-second clip. Obviously, if you are selling enterprise B2B software, this is clearly not your arena.
Well, probably not.
But here's the stat that completely threw me. Unlike Amazon, where the brand itself usually drives the sales through, you know, their own listings and their own ads, on TikTok Shop, nearly 50% of the sales are driven by affiliate creators.
Think about that for a second. Half of the revenue is being generated by independent creators who don't even own the product line.
Mm.
They don't work for the company, and they have no stake in the brand other than earning a quick commission for making a video that converts.
So what does this all mean for the brand? Like, if 50% of your sales are coming from just random affiliate creators making their own weird videos in their bedrooms, haven't you completely lost control of your brand's messaging?
Yeah, you have.
How on earth do you maintain any kind of cohesive brand identity?
It's tough. And this raises a critical question about the modern nature of branding. For you listening right now, if you are building a brand in this ecosystem, you have to realize that control is an illusion.
An illusion. Wow.
Yeah. The traditional playbook says you sit in a boardroom, craft one perfect, highly polished brand message, and you broadcast it to everyone. But this new strategy, it is entirely about volume and variation.
So you don't need one perfect message.
No, you need dozens of different angles interpreted by dozens of different creators being tested simultaneously out in the wild. You aren't controlling a broadcast anymore. You are managing a decentralized ecosystem.
That is a massive paradigm shift. You're basically letting the creators tell your story for you.
Precisely.
And it's worth noting, while the marketing is totally decentralized, the actual fulfillment expectations are still absolutely brutal.
Oh, completely.
Like, even though these are impulse buys, buyers still expect Amazon-level fulfillment speed. If you ship slowly, your reviews tank instantly, and the algorithm will just bury your store forever.
Yeah, the algorithm is unforgiving with slow shipping.
But surprisingly, the sources point out you don't even need brand registry to start selling here, which removes a massive barrier to entry that Amazon has always heavily enforced.
Right. So the barrier to entry is incredibly low, which is exactly why the platform is so flooded right now. But the barrier to success is incredibly high because it requires mastering an entirely new set of operational mechanics.
Which brings us to the actual execution. We've established the rules, right? We know the pitfalls. But how does a brand actually build this machine from scratch?
Well, the strategy guide lays out a very specific three-step sequence from zero. It starts with posting volume, 3 to 5 times a week.
And that's not for vanity metrics, right? That's for pure signal gathering.
Exactly. And crucially, when you do this, you have to watch the completion rate, not the raw views.
Why is that?
Because a raw view is, frankly, a largely meaningless metric. It just means the algorithm placed your video on screen. The completion rate, so how many people actually watched it to the very end, that tells you if the hook and the narrative genuinely held their attention.
That makes total sense. And oh, the sources also mentioned that live shopping sessions convert several times higher than standard video, too.
Yeah, live shopping is huge for conversions.
So next, after you get your organic signals, you bring in the creators. And the specific recommendation here is to use 8 to 15 micro creators to generate dozens of different hooks rather than blowing your entire quarterly budget on like one massive mega influencer.
Again, it comes right back to variation. One massive influencer gives you exactly one swing at the bat. If their audience doesn't care for that specific video, your money is just gone. Yeah. But 15 micro creators. That gives you 15 different interpretations of your product. One might focus entirely on the unboxing experience. Another might focus on the price point. Another might just do some weird comedic sketch with the product just sitting in the background.
So you are fishing with a massive net instead of a single line.
Exactly.
And finally, you use those paid Spark ads to amplify the specific videos that the net catches. That is the engine.
That's the formula right there.
But managing all of this, like sourcing reliable micro creators, handling all the affiliate commissions, rotating your ad creative every 2 weeks to fight the fatigue, bridging your inventory, it sounds like a logistical nightmare.
It is a massive headache, yeah.
Which is why brands turn to agencies. But what stood out to me in the research wasn't just that brands hire agencies, it was how hyper-specialized these agencies actually have to be.
Oh, absolutely. The days of hiring a generic digital marketing agency to just, you know, run your social media, those days are completely over.
Yeah.
You need specialists who understand the precise bottlenecks of this specific platform.
So for you listening, what stands out to you about this list of agencies in the source text? Because it's wild. For example, if you are an Amazon first brand trying to move over, the logistics alone will crush you.
Without a doubt. Yeah. You have to bridge your Amazon fulfillment with TikTok's interface, which is very messy.
Right. So you wouldn't just hire a creative agency for that. You'd look at an operational specialist like Orca Pacific, or SPC Tech, who is an official partner, to handle that exact migration headache.
Right, because your point of failure there is logistics, not creative. But let's say your logistics are fine, you're a high-growth DTC brand, you might look at someone like Ad Quadrant.
Or what if your creative is what's failing?
Right, if your videos look too polished and they keep bombing that camouflage test we talked about, then you need a partner like Nude6, right? They're an early partner who specializes entirely in high-volume, native-looking, raw content.
And there are others, too, like Pattern for Enterprise Marketplace Acceleration or AdParlor if you need a massive data set to work from since they've run like 15,000 campaigns. It's all about matching the agency to the specific leak in your funnel.
And that is a crucial takeaway for anyone building this. Picking the wrong partner, just because they gave a really good general pitch, is incredibly expensive.
Because you pay for it twice. Right?
Exactly. You pay for it once in the wasted retainer fee, and again in the months of lost time while your competitors are out there capturing the market share you should have had.
It really is a totally different battlefield. So to pull all of this together for a summary, what the data is really telling us is that success on this platform isn't about having a bigger ad budget than your competitors.
Not at all.
It's entirely about sequence. It's an order of operations. You go organic first to test the waters. You leverage creators second for volume and variation. You use paid ads third, but only to amplify the proven winners.
Like the Spark ads.
Yes. And through every single step, you just have to respect the platform's unique, raw, visual caller ID culture.
It truly is a masterclass in adapting to the environment rather than trying to force the environment to adapt to, you know, an old marketing textbook.
Totally. And for you listening, whether you are prepping for a marketing meeting this afternoon or you're thinking about launching a side hustle, or honestly, even if you are just sitting on your couch wondering why your own personal feed looks the way it does, understanding this architecture fundamentally changes how you see the modern digital economy.
It really demystifies the magic completely, doesn't it?
It really does. You start to realize that those massive viral moments aren't accidents. They are meticulously engineered. But, you know, it also leaves us with something fascinating to think about as we wrap up today's deep dive.
Huh? What's that?
Well, we talked about how this ecosystem has completely removed all the friction from the buying process. You see a raw native video from a micro creator, you tap your screen, and you've bought the product in a 3-second window. It is pure, frictionless, instantaneous impulse.
Right. The ultimate impulse engine.
But as this becomes the new normal for how we shop, what does that actually mean for the future of brand loyalty? Like, if you are buying things seamlessly in a 3-second blur of entertainment, a month later, will you even remember the name of the brand you bought from? Or will you only remember the creator who entertained you while you bought it?
Wow. Now that is a deep dive for another day.